Live from the KSRM studios on K Beach Road, KSRM 920 AM presents Decision 2020. Tonight, we feature the Kenai Peninsula Borough mayoral race. You'll hear their opinions on issues that matter to you. In studios are candidates Charlie Pierce, Linda Farnsworth Hutchings, and Troy Nightingale.
Welcome to KSRM's Candidate Forum featuring Kenai Peninsula Borough Mayor candidates. And Mr. Nightingale has not joined us, so we have here incumbent Mayor Charlie Pierce, as well as his contender, Linda Farnsworth Hutchings. So we'll start with an opening statement from both of you. Let me start with Ms. Hutchings, please.
Thank you for the opportunity to be here. I am Linda Farnsworth Hutchings, and I'm running for Kenai Peninsula Borough Mayor. I have the breadth of knowledge and necessary skills to administer the Kenai Peninsula Borough. I am running because I'm concerned about the future stability of our borough for so very many reasons. I bring so much more than a family business experience to the borough role. I have served on boards and commissions most of my adult life, overseeing not just not-for-profit budgets, state and municipal budgets, and private sector budgets. Mine was a homesteader home with parents that were involved in leadership and service. Jack and Dolly Farnsworth worked toward statehood, borough government, and served on assembly, school board, and hospital boards. They taught me the value of community service and commitment. You can count on me to be transparent, respectful, and willing to collaborate for the benefit of the borough residents. I ask for your vote on October 6th.
Thank you, ma'am. Now, Mayor Pierce, may I have your opening statement, please?
Good evening. Thank you for having us this evening. My name is Charlie Pierce. I've been on the Kenai Peninsula Borough for the better part of 30 years, been in Alaska for 45 years, and worked for NSTAR Natural Gas as a Southern Division Manager, Operations Manager for 28. I was with that company for 39 years, and served on the Kenai Peninsula Assembly from 08 to 14. This would be my fourth elected office if successful in this campaign, and family, five boys, my wife Vonnie, we have 11 grandchildren, trying to count them, there's many of them, and I've served as your borough mayor the last three fiscal years, and I feel like there's a long list of accomplishments and success stories that are really not being spoken very well. It would take too long to go over the list, frankly, but I brought a few of those success stories with me this evening, and I look forward to having this discussion and sharing those with you. October 6th is going to come, it's going to go, and what I would just encourage voters to do is just look at the results, look at my experience, look at the positions that I've held and the results that I've produced. And I hope that you'll give me your vote on October 6th.
Well, thank you both for your opening statements. So we're going to go ahead to a break. So this is KSRM's continued coverage of Decision 2020 and the race for Kenai Peninsula Borough Mayor.
Welcome back to KSRM's coverage of Decision 2020 on KSRM 920 AM and RadioKenai.com.
We're glad to have you back here for the Candidate Forum featuring Kenai Peninsula Borough mayoral candidates Linda Farnsworth Hutchings and incumbent Mayor Charlie Pierce. We'll start with a question from Ms. Karen McGinn.
Thank you, Jason. My question is for both of the candidates, Mrs. Hutchings and Mayor Pierce. Do you agree with the borough food tax wintertime exemption? And I'd ask Mrs. Hutchings to respond first.
I'm fine with that exemption. I think it's a little hard, though, on businesses because it hits two different quarters. But other than that, I'm fine with it.
Mayor Pierce?
Yes, I think it was a voter initiative, and if it were to go away, I would expect it to be another request from the request in front of the voters to remove it.
Thank you very much.
And I'll ask both of you as well. What do you view as the job description for the office of borough mayor? And I'll start with you, Mayor Pierce.
I think that you have to first and foremost be a generalist, and I would tell you that there is a variety of issues that you'll deal with every day. You'll receive a full spectrum of challenges along the way and questions along the way. And really what I think you need to do is have a strong sense of building a strong team and circling yourself with professionals that have mutual understandings and like thinkers. And really, I think the outcomes and the results truly come through working through people and with people. I think that there's lots of challenges that we face, everything from budgets to resources to staffing and to services in general. And again, I think all of those things, you need to be well-versed in handling and solving problems.
Thank you, sir. Ms. Hutchings?
I think you need to be a good administrator and have an extremely strong accounting background. Because the thing is it is a big borough. It is about a lot of money. It's a lot of expenses. And we have to be able to work with those figures. And the other thing is that I think you need to be able to collaborate. Collaborate with your assembly. Collaborate with your department heads and your employees. Everybody brings something to the table. So listen and pull out what is helpful to the borough.
Thank you very much.
And this is Karen McGann, and I'm going to ask another question of both candidates. Mayor Pierce first. Should there be an exemption on heating fuel in the wintertime?
No.
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 Do you think that people have a hard time making the go of it in the wintertime?
They certainly do. They certainly do. But I think that in Alaska, you know, it's probably it's the only state that I'm aware of that sends you a check every year.
Well, I'm not talking about the state, the borough tax. Should there be an exemption on the borough tax on fuel?
I don't believe so.
Mrs. Hutchings?
Well, the thing is if you took it off of fuel, you would have to take it off of NSTAR because they also charge you sales tax. So I don't think that that is something that is reasonable to consider.
Thank you.
And I'll ask a question to you both as well, and that is, will you support a bed tax when or if it appears before the assembly again? I'll start with you, Ms. Hutchings.
Absolutely not. We don't have enough beds. It would be too hard to enforce. We have a lot of cabins, Airbnbs that are out in the woods. You would never know what was going on. So I don't think that it is a tax that would generate enough money.
Thank you, Mayor Pierce.
My mic on? I certainly think that this is a question that has been vetted within this community, and I think the voice of the people has been heard. I've heard them say no repeatedly, and I would support that, the voice of the people, no.
Thank you, sir.
Let's start with Mrs. Hutchings on this one. Mrs. Hutchings, do you agree with the current senior citizen tax exemptions, and is there anything about that that you think should be changed?
Well, actually, you can't change very much, even if you wanted to, because it's state mandated. And I think it's fine. We want our seniors to be here. And I'm sure that quite a few of us at this table are enjoying this part of that exemption.
And I hear some complaints about it often, about that there are people that are gone more than they should be gone, or that they're just using it as a summer home. Do you hear that kind of thing?
I do, but again, how are you going to police it? Because I know I've heard of people say, oh, yes, my friends left me with a credit card, and I go over and I plow their driveway, and I buy some gas, and I buy some groceries, and I might stay at their house for a couple of weeks so that people think that there are people living there.
All right, and Mayor Pierce, do you have a comment on that one also?
I think it's unfortunate that folks are not willing to pay their fair share for expenses and for services here in our borough. I hate to hear that someone's actually working the system and not willing to help pay for services. But we do have those folks that I've heard that story, those many stories as well, where folks have tried to circumvent the system. Let me say that the first $150,000 of value is the portion that's mandated by the state. They mandated it years ago, and they used to offset the mandate with some compensation to the borough for that, and they no longer do that. And then secondly, we have gone in and added another $150,000 to that mix, as well as another $50,000 and to get the $350,000 tax exemption along the way. We did some of that when I was on the assembly. And again, we've incentivized folks to be here for that.
One other thing on that issue, do you think that maybe that should be changed? $350,000 is a lot. It's a lot.
You know, it is. And I would say that, you know, we I'm not at a point where I'm ready to say that we should change that. I'd like to protect it. It would be the first thing that I would try to protect.
Okay.
Because I would like to continue to incentivize folks to come here, move here, seniors to move here, and to live with families. All too often, we live away from our families. And what I would like to do is just incentivize folks to come here so that they can be with their families.
Thank you.
And, you know, we have a kind of a rare opportunity. We're here in the same room together, and I think this would be a great time for each of you to have a chance to ask each other a question that you would like to ask. And I'd start, Mayor Pierce, is there a question you'd like to ask Ms. Hutchings?
But I would like to ask Ms. Hutchings how she or why she feels that how I've been untruthful to my constituents and to the folks that live here in the borough.
I don't believe you've been untruthful. I just think you have avoided telling them what is going on. We have a huge deficit in our budget right now, and that should have been discussed long before the budget being turned into the assembly. COVID was not the reason for that. It was spending that you did before.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. I have another question along with the taxes that we've been talking about. As you all know, when oil prices increase and gas prices increase, it hurts all of us as individuals as far as filling up our tank. But it increases the state's revenues, increases the borough's revenues, so we all get kind of emotionally unstable. Is this good or isn't this good? Or at least I do. So do you think that it would be a better thing to do instead of 3% sales tax on fuel and gas at the tank to have a 3-cent tax where it stays the same and doesn't increase and decrease with the fluctuation of the oil prices? And I'll ask Mrs. Hutchings that question first.
I think we should keep it with the 3% that is the sales tax.
Okay. You don't think that it would be more fair to stay with a 3-cent tax?
We're already giving people exemptions for their homes. We are giving people exemptions for food in the wintertime. I think that you can't keep giving exemptions because you will keep having to raise the mill rate for property taxes. So what's going to happen to the struggling mom and dad with a couple of children when they're getting higher property taxes? They could choose not to go buy certain groceries, or they might be on a SNAP card, so they pay no sales tax at all.
Okay. And Mayor Pierce, the same question, only do you think it would be better for the borough not to have that fluctuation as the oil prices increase and decrease? If it was just a 3-cent tax, it would stay the same.
I would leave it the same as well. I think that there was a time and a place in Alaska where we were all afforded many considerations because of the revenue that we generated in the state. And today, my greatest concern as a mayor today is what the state's going to do to us, frankly, and what costs that they will shift to us. I think those will be the challenges that we're going to have to address in the future. You know, it's real easy, and I said long ago when I was on the assembly, it's real easy to make business decisions or make spending decisions because you have lots of revenue to cover it. We used to be able to send our top 10 capital priorities to Juneau. We no longer do that. So, you know, here, most of the costs, the paying for services will come home, and I think the state's going to try to do just that, push some of those typical state expenses that were covered historically, and they'll push them here to the local level. We're the local taxing authority. We can tax, and they recognize that.
Thank you. And Mrs. Hutchings, I'd like to give you now the chance to ask Mayor Pierce a question that you haven't had a chance to ask him yet.
Well, I'm curious as to why you felt that spending money, cash money, instead of going out and getting a loan or bonding for certain things that you had done in the borough that would have saved our savings account. It's great to pay cash in your personal life, but if you have $10,000 in your savings account and you are going to buy a car and you can get it at 0%, you're certainly not going to pull that $10,000 out. And that's the way I look at some of the spending that has gone on in the borough, is that this is money that could have been granted or bonded at a lower interest rate, and we would have kept our bond rating and our credit worthiness.
You know, I think I'm a person that would rather spend, look at your forecast, look at your fund balances, and look at the projections going forward in your fiscal year. And I will say that up till 2020, January of 2020, changed a lot of outlooks in this borough. I took office actually in 2017, managed that budget from Mike Navarre for 8 months, a budget that Mike Navarre had created. I managed the budget in 18 and 19 and did projections 2020 and 2021. We've got projections out to 22, 23, and 24, and they're just that. They're forecasts, and we change them every month. Like you said, you encouraged us to look at things daily. Well, we do. We look at things daily, and I would say that we had, I hope I have an opportunity, given some time here, to answer some of the actual savings that I came up with and cuts that I made that created some of that fund balance. And again, I think that the group, the assembly, the school district board, the administration at the school district, all of us sat down and looked at a number of funding mechanisms along the way. We had funding, and had our revenue continued and not been interrupted, we wouldn't be sitting here talking about the subject matter today. We would have adequate fund balance. We had a COVID event that some would not like to recognize, but it's truly going on today, and it will affect us for the next 20 to 24 months. And we have a plan that I'm comfortable with, and it's updated monthly. The forecasts are updated monthly. We're tracking the quarterly adjustments. You know, in March of 2020, when we looked at revenue at the end of March of 2020, we had a decline of roughly 15%, and we extrapolated that out over the next fiscal year and the following fiscal years, and we came up with that projection. I think I've been honest with my constituents in saying, hey, this is the worst case. They get it. I think they understand it truly. I think they understand that we have gone through a COVID event, and in 2020 there was some extra spending. I can speak to it and explain it. Yeah, there was some deficit spend, and it went directly to some of it, the majority of a $5 million spend, deficit spend. $3 million of it went directly to the school district to fund them to the cap, only to be readjusted and to come down off the cap. We had them at the cap, and we brought them back down to the $50 million when March shows up. And so we adjusted accordingly with the events that were going on, and we continue to do that every day. And again, I think that, you know, I work alongside, I believe, one of the best CPAs in the state of Alaska. Her name is Brandy Harbaugh. And she's my advisor, and you talk about having a good accountant next to you. Well, I have one of the best. I trust her. And between our team, I think I work with a group of conservative professionals every day, and I trust my team. I don't make all the decisions by myself, but I certainly am at the helm, and I'm responsible.
All right, my question now is a two-part question, and I will ask Mrs. Hutchings first. Central Peninsula Hospital, as you know, is a borough-owned hospital. A previous borough administration dissolved the elected service area board. Central Peninsula Hospital, Inc. is the current management corporation for the borough-owned hospital with a self-appointed board. So part A, should we go back to an elected service area board? And part question B of that is, how does an interested citizen obtain a seat currently on the CPH, Inc. board?
Well, I will tell you, I know how many hours my mother used to spend, because she was on that board for 9 years. And you spend about 40 hours a month reading the documents, making sure that everything is, you know, the I's are dotted, the T's are crossed. You have a financial person, you have medical people. You cannot just find that by election. We have a hard enough time finding people to sit on boards as it is. And this board demands expertise. So I am happy with the way the board is set up now.
So actually my question was, should we have both the service area board like we used to have and the CPH, Inc. board? And how do you get on the CPH, Inc. board?
I believe we stay with the CPH, Inc. board. And if you are interested, you can meet with the board. Those meetings are open to the public. And you could put your name forward.
And who decides that, who gets on it?
That would be the board itself.
The board itself. Mm-hmm. Mayor Pierce, would you respond to that same question about the elected service area board? And should we have both? Do you think it should have been dissolved?
You know, I was on the assembly when the board was dissolved, and I think that there was some real duplication of services going, felt like there was some duplications of services and really causing some delays. One of the discussion items, one of the concerns at the time was the decision-making process. And the fact of the matter is many of the decisions as it relates to the hospital and the cost of capital and just making daily decisions, what we tried to do is streamline some of that and shorten the length of the between both boards having some resolve, and oftentimes there was very little difference between the two groups, and it was felt that it was a more of an efficiency decision. I supported it at the time because I really felt like there was some duplications of services going on and delay of the process, so I
very quickly,
it.
Do you support
and I still support it today. Yeah,
being a self-appointed board, do you support
and,
that?
And again, I think that if you look at the hospital and how it's being run and the process, I think it's a successful model right now. If we start getting into a situation where we start talking about the shift of costs and coming back onto the tax base and we start paying taxes on our hospital, I think that maybe you can have another day and another discussion. But I think right now our hospitals are run well. They're efficient and they're making good decisions, I think.
Thank you. So we have a question here I want to ask before we head to the back end. We're coming up on a commercial break and we'll do our answers when we get back. But I'm going to ask you both, with the largest expenditure of the borough being the school district, with less state funding for local schools, as the mayor, how would you help to avoid school closures? And because the borough owns the school buildings, you know, which school buildings would be the ones first on the chopping block to be closed if that became necessary? So that's what we'll get into after our break. This is KSRM 920's coverage of the Kenai Peninsula Borough mayoral candidates. We have Linda Farnsworth Hutchings and incumbent mayor Charlie Pierce. They'll be back with more answers on the way here on KSRM 920, Kenai, Soldotna, Homer.
Live from the KSRM studios on KB Trode, KSRM 920 AM presents Decision 2020. Tonight, we feature the Kenai Peninsula Borough mayoral race. You'll hear their opinions on issues that matter to you. In studios are candidates Charlie Pierce, Linda Farnsworth Hutchings, and Troy Nightingale.
Welcome back. This is Jason Lee with KSRM News, joined by Karen McGann. We'll be asking questions tonight. Mr. Nightingale, who you heard in the intro there, will not be present tonight, but we'll be asking questions of incumbent Mayor Charlie Pierce and also asking questions of his challenger, Linda Farnsworth Hutchings. So I asked a question before the break, so we're going to touch back onto that, and that is with the borough's largest expenditure being the school district, with less state funding coming in for local schools as mayor in a new term, what would you do to help avoid school closures? And if those do have to happen, what buildings are we looking at closing first? And I'll start with you.
Well, I think that all of our schools are very viable. They are community centers. And so even if the possibility that you didn't have classrooms in there, you could still use it as a community center. The borough owns these buildings. They're still going to have to maintain them. They're going to have to insure them. And there's going to have to be somebody watching the building. So if they could be used for something more community oriented. The other thing is that we have a lot of charter schools, so you can move these charter schools into these schools as well. So at this point, I couldn't see. I mean, we went through a lot of testimony the last time we were looking at closing schools, and that is not something that would be on my agenda.
Okay. Mayor Pierce?
We just had a meeting with the school district this last week about this very issue. And of course, we're looking at state funding, looking at our current cap of $52,700,000, and looking at the student enrollment numbers and looking at the revenue that the state potentially could provide as it relates to those numbers. We look at our own cap, and that's dependent, and it's driven to a great extent as to what the state gives the school district. And we're of the belief if the students don't return, that the cap will come down off of the 52.7. The school district would agree. Certainly not something that they're hoping for, but it's something we have to be ready for. As far as what schools we close, that's an evaluation that I've asked for from the school district, is to look at their long-term plan, 5-year, 10-year, 15, 20-year plan. We just did some engineering work on the
thing that this time there. Thank you both. Appreciate it. Karen?
What schools would you think needed to be closed?
You know, you're going to look at the schools that have the lowest number of students in them, I think, and I think that's what the district may do. You look at busing costs, you look at the time a student is actually going to have to be on a bus to transport them to a school, but I think that if you look at all of our schools, they're underutilized today. The number of students that are actually in our district is considerably lower than what it was 10 years ago. It continues to go down and decline in the way of numbers, and I think that the responsible thing for the school board to do is just to look at that and make some long-range plans, do some fiscal planning, and they need to take a serious look at that. We have to. We can't avoid it.
Well, let me just follow up on that a little bit, because we have these schools like out the East Road with very, very few kids, and wouldn't you think that maybe, I'll ask Mrs. Hutchings, if they do have to close any at all, which we don't want to do, some of those, would you think that would be the first thing to do?
McNeil Canyon?
I'm referring to some of those that never were on the ballot. Rosedalna.
Okay. So those are Russian Village
They're schools from our district, though, yes.
But they are very basic schools. I mean, these are not built to the standards that we're used to, and I think they lease them to the school district for a small amount, nothing not like what our big schools are. And I think what you've seen in some of those Russian villages is that they are bringing their children into Homer and into Anchor Point so that their kids are going to the regular school, because the schools are in poor shape, not safe, actually.
So they could maybe not keep them going?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and then I have another question. I'm sorry, I was following up on yours, Jason, but I wanted another question about the hospital before I discontinue that topic, which is that the CPH Inc. was given a 10-year management contract. I'll start with Mayor Pierce. Do you think that that was too long for review? And if that comes up again during your term, would you again make that a 10-year contract?
It will not come up during my term, because it is a 10-year contract, and it was agreed to and evaluated by the last administration.
Would you do it if it was you?
I'd want to evaluate the terms and conditions and the status of things before I could give you a yes or a no answer on that.
Well, Mrs. Hutchings, do you think that's too long to go on a contract without a review?
They are reviewed every quarter, but the renewal of the contract is 10 years out. And I will tell you, from being in business, from dealing with General Motors, from dealing with doctors coming into the area, if you have an operating agreement that is less than 10 years, you're not going to get the people to come. Because let's say, and I know this was discussed at the last time it was up for review, there were some people on the assembly wanted 3 years or 5 years. Well, if you pull a doctor into this area in the last year of a 3-year management agreement, they're not going to do a thing. They're not going to build a building. They're not going to move to your area. You have to have a minimum of 10 years. With General Motors, it's 20 years.